This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. But the topic of our khutbah today is how to disagree. And this topic is important because of two main things, and that is we don't know how to disagree, and the second, we don't know when to disagree. And when is a disagreement or a topic of disagreement important enough where it warrants a split and a separation in the ummah as well? And what is worth disagreeing over, what is not worth disagreeing over. Every time there is an issue in the community or some kind of disagreement or some kind of fitna or scandal, we see some major mistakes. The first, those who insult everyone they disagree with, even if they be scholars or people older than they are or respected members of the community. And the second, those who inject themselves and insist on chiming in. They inject themselves into the problem or the disagreement, and they take sides, and they even want everyone else to take sides as well. As for the first group, everyone is well-mannered when the sun is out and it's a good day. And when there is no problem and the weather is fine, everyone is well-mannered. So that's not when your good manners count. Your good manners count, or your manners will count, when there's an issue of disagreement or a fitna or some kind of issue in the community. And that's when your true caliber comes out as well. That's when we see your true caliber. And that's when good manners will count. So every time there is some kind of issue or disagreement in the community, we get a gauge of the level of akhlaq of the Muslim community and the level of tarbiyah. And we see that it is far from where we would like to be as an ideal community. But the solutions are simple. Disagree without insulting and disregarding the individual. We always cite the Battle of Siffin. And this was a unique battle in the history of earth. There will never be another one like it, and there has never been one like it. In the Battle of Siffin, two parties disagreed. So during the day, they're in the battlefield fighting, trying to kill each other. And then when the fighting stops at night, they go into each other's camps and they have dinner with each other and they have conversations and they talk and joke and what have you. And then they separate again at night and they meet in the battlefield. So what is unique here is that they recognize a point of disagreement between them and their brothers. And they recognize that that is the only point of disagreement. So I only disagree with you on this one issue to the point that we will fight to the death over it. But outside of this issue, I have no problem with you. Outside of this issue, I think you are a righteous believer. And if you ask for my sister's hand in marriage, I will give her to you. And I think you are righteous and you love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The difference between how they disagreed and how we disagree, if we disagree with one person today on one issue, we cancel out their life, their achievement. We attack their family, their dog. We don't leave anything. We cancel them out as an individual. Whereas before, they only focus on the one issue where they disagreed, and as beyond that, I think highly of you in every regard. But today we go overboard. And going overboard is a bad sign. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he described the hypocrite. When the hypocrite has a disagreement with you, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرٌ. When he has a disagreement, he takes it overboard. He goes overboard. He takes it to another level, far beyond where it should go. It's a sign of the hypocrites. Whereas the disbelievers only take, or whereas the believers only take it as far as it needs to go. So, never insult anyone. People will always differ, and they have always differed, but differ with good manners. And we see the difference between the righteous and the scholars and the laymen and how they disagree. Imam Malik rahimahullah, the Khalifa approached him at Hajj and he tells him, write a fiqh book and I will force the entire ummah, all corners of the ummah, to follow the fiqh of that book. And the Khalifa is giving Imam Malik the opportunity to be the faqih of the entire Muslim ummah and everyone will be forced to follow the fiqh of your book. And what did he do? He refused that offer. He refused the offer from the Khalifa. He said, then the Khalifa asked him why, and he explained it. And look at how he respected everyone's opinion. He said, the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after his death, all of them went and lived in different parts of the ummah. Some people moved to Iraq, some people moved to Egypt, some people moved to Asham. And he says, and every one of them gave fatwa in that area based on what he believed to be the truth. So why should I force the entire ummah upon what I believe to be the truth? Look at this level of respect for other people's opinions. So he refused. Imam al-Shafi'i has his famous statement that my statement is correct with the possibility of being wrong. Well, as my opponent's statement is wrong with the possibility of being correct. Like, he didn't make it 100% wrong. He left room. It's possible that you're right. And there's a chance that I could be wrong. That's the level of the scholars. That's how the righteous disagree. But then look at those who, the laymen, look at how they disagree with people. And let's look at the example from the lives of the great imams themselves. Just about every single one of the great scholars had some enemy, someone who disliked them from their common folks. And those people found a way to get close to the Khalifa and the rulers and those in power. And they used that to get them to hate the Imam as well. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was beaten, whipped, and imprisoned. And a man like him. Why? Because of the people who didn't like him, they got close to the Khalifa and they got him riled up against him. Imam Malik, same thing, was beaten and whipped like that. Even with his level and respect for in the community. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal imprisoned for years and years to come through the reigns of three different khulafa. Why? Because people who disagreed with him, they didn't know how far to take it. So the righteous, the scholars, they take it as far as it needs to go. Other people and the hypocrites, they take it, not to say anyone's a hypocrite, but generally as the hypocrite was described in the hadith, goes overboard. Layman going overboard. So always be respectful. Another example from the standards of the scholars. This is قال الشيخ تاج الدين ابن السبكي في التشريح. This is تاج الدين, the son of the great scholar السبكي. He said, كنت يوما في دهليز دارنا في جماعة. He says, I was one day in the dehliz is like a vestibule or يعني like a vestibule basically or some kind of corridor, but going from the outside to the inside. Anyways, he says, كُنْتُ يَوْمًا فِي دِهْلِيزِ دَارِنَا فِي جَمَاعَةً. I was sitting with a group of people in this vestibule of the house. فَمَرَّ بِنَا كَلْبٌ يَقْطُرُ مَاءً. So a dog passed by us, dripping wet. يَكَادُ يَمَسُّ ثِيَابُنَا. The wetness almost got to, or he almost touched our clothing. فَنَهَرْتُهُ. So I yelled at this dog. وَقُلْتْ يَا كَلْبْ يَبْنِ الْكَلْبْ. So I said, you dog, you son of a dog. And in Arabic, this is more severe of an insult, and it's a common insult. So he called the dog, you dog, son of a dog. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ يعني, this is when his, he says, وَإِذَا بِالشَّيْخِ الْإِمَامِ, his father, تَقِيُّ الدِّينَ السُّبْكِي, he says, he heard us from the inside. So when he came out, he said, why did you insult the dog? فَقُلْتُ مَا قُلْتُ إِلَّا حَقًّا أَلَيْسَ هُوَ بِكَلْبِ إِبْنْ كَلْبِ. He said, I only spoke the truth. Isn't he a dog and the son of a dog? فَقَالَ هُوَ كَذَلِكَ. He said, yes, that is the case. But you, ولكن, إِلَّا أَنَّكَ أَخْرَجْتَ الْكَلَامَ عَنْ مَخْرَجِ الشَّتْمِ وَالْإِهَانَةِ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي ذَلِكَ. He says, but you didn't mean to call, to refer to him in that way, except to insult him. And that is not acceptable. يعني, you're not calling him the dog, son of a dog, as a reference, an actual reference. You're calling him that as an insult. And that is not acceptable. يعني, this is a scholar, and he's teaching his son how to speak, and this is to an animal. So look at the level, look at where we are today, especially on social media. So remember this saying, the Arabs used to say, your word is your captive so long as you don't utter it. As long as you don't speak something, it's a prisoner with you. It's your captive, as long as you don't speak it. Once you utter it, you become its captive. The minute you speak a word, you become the captive of that word. You cannot escape that's uttering that statement. Wherever you go, it follows you. So learn to disagree in simple. Learn to disagree without calling people names, especially scholars and the leaders, because there is no benefit in making people, especially the youth, hate their religious leaders or learn to be disrespectful simply because they disagree. There is a story concerning General Robert E. Lee during the American Civil War. And wallahi, this story makes me jealous when I hear it. So Jefferson Davis was asking General Robert E. Lee, and why do I use this example? يعني, they're kuffar. They didn't get a hadith of akhlaq and adab and holding your tongue from an Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then look at this high level of manners. So Jefferson Davis asked General Robert E. Lee about his opinion of this other officer, on this other officer. And so General Lee started to praise that other officer. He praised him and spoke very highly of him. Another officer who was present, he tells him, that man that you're praising to the president, he is one of your worst enemies. And he never misses an opportunity to say anything bad about you. Like, why do you praise him? He's telling him, why are you praising that officer? The officer always insults you any chance he gets. So why would you say something good about him? So General Lee replied, he said, yes. But the president didn't ask my opinion. The president asked my opinion of him. And he didn't ask me of his opinion of me. Look at this level of akhlaq. He said, he didn't ask what that man thought of me, all the negative stuff. He asked what I thought of him. Even though I know he says bad things about me, that's not what I'm going to say about him. My opinion of him is good. So I will only say that which is good. Wallah, it's a shame. It's a shame that the Muslims have some of the worst akhlaq, especially online, some of the worst akhlaq you'll ever see. The second group were those who insist on chiming in. And social media now, so everyone has to chime in. And even if you don't open your mouth about a scandal in the community, people private message you. Why aren't you saying something? Because people think the general rule is you have to open your mouth about everything. We have Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu. He was asked, what do you say about the two men, or what do you say about the fitna that happened amongst the companions? So his response, he said, that is blood that Allah saved my hands from. I wasn't alive and I didn't take part in shedding that blood. So Allah saved my hands from shedding that blood. So why should I soil my tongue with it? That is blood that Allah saved my hands from. So why should I soil my tongue with it? Why do you have to comment? Why is it important? And I know people say that you have to speak your mind. You have to make your voice heard. You have to speak up for the truth. All this champion talk. But who said these statements? And who made it this rule that you have to be heard, make your voice? We hear that all the time. Who is the first person who said that? We don't even know. But we have something opposite from the greatest man ever, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, he should say that which is good, or he should keep quiet. And if something doesn't concern you, then you should stay away from it. Those are the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas these anonymous teachings of just open your mouth wherever you can, it's unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Two final pieces of advice. Number one, it's very important for us to know our place. There are many people who believe that they are the defenders of the deen online, they are the gatekeepers of the sunnah and all this, they're the watch group of Mush'arif Ish, but, and it's their duty to expose and to warn the community. No, it's not. It's not your duty to expose anyone, it's not your duty to warn the community of anyone, it's not your duty to be the defender of the sunnah online. If people knew their role, we wouldn't have half the problems that we have, right? Most people, they don't even know the guidelines before warning a community of someone. Because when you warn the community, you're going to be destroying that person's reputation. And that is something that is very, very serious in Islam. Very serious. And if you want to look at an example, you look at the example of a zina. So when someone commits a crime like zina, it is in the top four worst crimes ever possible in Islam. And it is something that will harm the community. And it would benefit the community if the zunat, the people who commit zina, are exposed and are punished and would protect the rest of the community from them. So you might think it would be a good thing to expose those who commit zina. But al-asl, the default, is to always cover the sin of those who commit zina. A man by the name of Hazzal, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, inna ma'izan qad zana. Ma'iz ibn Malik was a companion who committed zina. So he came and told the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ in this narration, he struck his thigh. And he said, Ya Hazzal, if لو سترته بطرف ردائك لكان خيرا لك. If you would have concealed him with the edge of your garment, it would have been better for you, not for him. Obviously, it would be better for him to not be exposed. It would be better for you to not expose him. And the default is to never expose people's sins. And then these young people getting online thinking, I'm exposing this person, I'm writing an expose, 40,000 people viewed it. Maybe you just got 40,000 sins, is what happened. So know your place, know your role would save a lot of these problems. And the second thing is, a lot of times we don't know when the disagreement is worth disagreeing over and splitting the ummah over. When it comes to issues of the fundamental beliefs of Islam, then it's worth separating. Yani, simple example, if there's a group in the community that believed there's another prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here, this, if they don't return and repent from this, it's worth them splitting and starting their own masjid and starting their own community because they left Islam, and that's worth splitting the community over. But it's not worth starting your own masjid because we disagree on a fiqh issue or we disagree on fiqh matters of the madahib and so on and so forth. And I'll just conclude with this true story that happened, and it's just really indicative of how we don't understand what's important in our religion. This is a true story that happened in a musalla, actually in Australia. And the imam, he made an announcement, and he was kind of rough after the announcement. So I asked him, why were you so harsh? And he is a nice guy. Why were you so harsh in your announcement, when you made the announcement? He said, you don't know this community. And basically the amount of problems they cause. He said, one time I had a guest imam giving the Jumu'ah khutbah. And a man waited until the middle of the khutbah. Then he stood up in the middle of the masjid. And he yelled out at the top of his lungs, brothers and sisters, do not pray behind this imam. Because I saw him in the bathroom making wudu, and he only wiped over his socks, and his socks were not made of leather. He made this announcement in the middle of the khutbah. And the worst part is, a group of people got up and walked out of the masjid. And he, complete lack of understanding. They think that praying behind the imam who wiped over wool or polyester socks is worse than missing Jumu'ah. So they walked out. But I always tell people, imagine if that man stood up and he said, brothers and sisters, do not pray behind this imam Because this Imam does not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above his throne. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned 6 times in the Quran that he is above his throne. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in authentic ahadith that Allah is above his throne and above the world. If he said that, people tell him, sit down, don't split up the ummah. These are issues of disagreement. But the issues of fiqh, they're willing to walk out of the masjid. A big part of it, brothers and sisters, is that we don't understand our deen properly. And we don't know when it's a legitimate disagreement or dissension, or it's legitimate to split up the ummah, or it's worth bringing up a disagreement, and we just want to create a ruckus on social media over every little thing, and then everyone has to chime in. And then probably the worst of all the groups are those who are pleased with it, even though they're not taking part. They just sit back and they let people go at it against each other, and they will not step in with a word of truth to defend or anything like that. So with that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recognize the truth as a clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as falsehood and abstain from it. فَاللَّهُمَّ أَرِنَا الْحَقَّ حَقًّا وَارْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَهُ وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَارْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابَهُ اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِنَا لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ لَا يَهْدِي لِأَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our good manners and to perfect our akhlaq. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the conditions of this ummah and the conditions of the Muslims in Palestine and in Kashmir and in all parts of the world, ya Rabbal Alameen. فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصلى اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.